everyone, and welcome to episode 4 of Trailblazers, the AFL's official women's podcast. My name is Nat Edwards, and I will be with you for the next 20 to 30 minutes or so as we look ahead to Saturday night's AFL Women's All-Stars match, where the best of the best will be playing for the Hampson Hardman Cup. And joining me in the studio right now to chat all things footy is Melbourne marquee player and gun defender Mel Hickey. Mel, great to have you back in.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
No worries. And we also have another very special guest in the studio with us today, and it is the coach of the Western Bulldogs, Paul Groves. Paul, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And congratulations on the appointment. Very exciting times for you.
Yeah, it is. It's been a bit of a whirlwind week and a half, but yeah, it's fantastic and getting amongst it.
Now, before we talk all things footy, of course, on Saturday night, Mel, we do have to say congratulations because the Darebin Falcons are into another grand final. What is it, like 11 in a row or something ridiculous like that?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. Not that you're counting or anything.
We've been going for 9 in 11 years, so pretty amazing.
Oh, that's ridiculous, isn't it? And yeah, a fantastic win over the Sharks, wasn't it, on the weekend?
Yeah, I was just saying, I don't actually know how it ended up being that big a margin. I think we just put together a really great four-quarter performance.
Now, it's a little bit strange because obviously some of the girls playing for the Sharks, they're playing Melbourne University, I believe it is, in the prelim in 2 weeks' time. But a lot of those girls will be playing in the match on Saturday night. Paul, have you had any phone calls from coaches saying, oh, I'm worried about these girls?
No, they've been pretty good. Their understanding of that this is the big exhibition match and the girls are ready to put on their show. So, yeah, there'll be a few nervous coaches, no doubt. But, yeah, look, we'll work with those girls as well with sort of game time, a little bit and that sort of stuff. But, it's really exciting.
Well, the game is 7:10 on Saturday night at the Witten Oval. It's exciting because entry is free. So if you can, get along. If you can't, it's going to be broadcast on Channel 7 and live streamed on afl.com.au and the AFL app. We've also got a curtain raiser, I think, before the game, which starts at 4:30, featuring some of the best youth girls going around, which is also very exciting. Let's start talking, I guess, about there's a few rule changes. The smaller ball, that's the one that interests me. Mel, from your perspective, have you been training with the smaller ball? Like, is it going to make a massive difference?
Yeah, I think we're going to camp on Thursday morning. Yep. So I suspect we'll have some size 4 balls kicking around for that. It shouldn't be too much of a difference. I imagine it's just that little bit smaller. And my understanding is that I think Sharon came out and did some testing out at Darebin and maybe some of the other clubs, and I guess tested our hand size and our height. And yeah, I don't know when the women's ball was originally determined, the size, and whether there was any kind of science that went into that. So I think the AFL's trying to obviously look at what best suits our anatomy and maybe if that's going to improve the skill and maybe the length that the ball can be kicked and that sort of thing. So, but yeah, it's interesting. It's a good, obviously a good occasion, exhibition match to be able to trial those sort of things. So, it'll be good to see how it goes.
And 16 aside, I think, with 6 on the bench, how's that for you, Paul, as a coach?
Yeah.
A little bit easier, or does it make things more difficult?
Yeah, probably. Oh, I wouldn't say easier, but it just means that you've got a few sort of differences to bring into it. But essentially, the plan is to open it up and let the girls play, and if they can run and jump and show their strengths, because a lot of these girls are sort of auditioning for draft night as well, so that's pretty exciting. But yeah, the 16 aside, we haven't really had too many discussions yet on how we're going to adapt to that, and I probably won't tell too much here for Mel.
No, I think that's
about to ask them. but yeah, whether you take a forward and a defender out, or just take the wings out as well, we'll look at that this week and bring that in when we do a bit of training.
Would it be something that you would be okay with being introduced for the National Women's Comp next year?
I haven't got an opinion on it yet. Sort of just want to see how it unfolds in this, and then a little bit of that stuff. I don't want to sort of jump on one side. If it works and it makes it more exciting and we're getting more fan engagement, potentially great. But then also the other side is sort of, are you changing the fundamental rules of the game as well? So yeah, I'll sit back, have a look how it goes Saturday night, and then we'll move on from there.
Mel, from a player's perspective, would you just prefer to play the game as it is and as you've always played?
Yeah, I think I know that's the sentiment of a lot of the girls. I'm of the same opinion as Paul, that we'll see. Obviously, there's a reason they're wanting to trial these sort of rules and to see whether it makes the game look more appealing or opens it up. And I know there's obviously a lot more congestion in women's football at the moment, so if that eliminate some of that sort of thing, I'm happy to see how it goes and, yeah, review after that.
Paul, you mentioned before it's like an audition for the draft, which is on October 12th, so next month. It's not long now, which is very exciting for a lot of girls. But has it added pressure onto the girls to really perform this week?
Look, these girls in this game are going to get drafted anyway.
Yeah.
So these sort of 45 girls are going to be on a list somewhere. It probably determines where they get drafted in the state-based drafts as well. So in terms of pressure, probably not a heap in terms of that, but it's also just coming together for the game as well and the aim to sort of win it for their respective clubs.
Well, the Dogs have only won once, I think, in the, was it five or six times that you guys have gone head-to-head, and they got the better of you, Mel, in March.
Yes.
So what needs to change from that game?
Yeah, so I guess it was quite different back then. It was a state-based side, yep. So we've got a lot more of the girls that we probably played with from 2013 side, so a lot of the WA girls will come back into this team. But obviously, same thing every time, that the team that can gel best over the 2 or 3 days that we're together normally and that each person plays their role on the day, that's normally who ends up winning the game.
I think Mo Hope kicked 3 goals last time back in March, which is still a long time ago, but she's since kicked 100 goals plus for the St Kilda Sharks, so she's in pretty good form. Who gets the job on her? I know you can't give away too much, but I think probably
yeah,
the same
I'm
person.
Sure. I got to play in her last year in our exhibition game. I know Cecilia McIntosh has played on her a few times in our local state league and done really well. There's a lot of good defenders in our side, so
yep.
It's probably more than one person. It's probably the whole defensive line has to obviously play on somebody like Mo and probably zone off and getting into her space. So it's probably more than just one person's job. That's how good she is. Yeah.
She's a pretty dangerous player for you, isn't she, Paul? You must be glad she's on your team.
Certainly.
For now.
Certainly looking at the lists. Yeah, obviously with Katie, Mo, Darcy Vesio, who's going to pop into that space as well at different stages. We've got quite a bit of firepower in that team. So how we can utilise that and create opportunities to score will be really exciting.
I think Daisy Pierce was one of the best players for the D's last time these two sides met. She had something like 33 touches. She's a pretty good player. Do you plan on tagging her or getting someone to shut her down, because her influence can be very dangerous?
Oh, she's amazing. Probably not in the situation that Saturday night's game is,
yeah.
And it's the last of the exhibition series. I'm really hoping that Michelle understands where both teams are at in terms of just getting on the real show, Channel 7
yeah.
prime time on a Saturday night. We need to put on a really good show for the girls. So I wouldn't imagine that we go down with a full tagging role. You clearly want someone to at least be standing next to her at some point, which she tends to find a lot of free space as well. So, yeah, there'll be matchups, but I wouldn't suggest that we probably go down the tagging route.
It's a bit of an unusual situation because Ellie Blackburn has obviously played with the D's and now she was announced as a Bulldogs marquee player, so she's been given the all clear to play for the Doggies on Saturday night. How is that for you, Mel? Obviously, you're going to go up against her.
Yeah, I mean, she's a fantastic midfielder and wins a lot of the ball and has that booming long kick, so I'd definitely like to have her on my team, but it's obviously a great situation for her to be able to play for the club that she's assigned to now and will be playing for next year. I'm sure it'll be quite special for her.
Most definitely. Now, Paul, just to get a little bit of background on your coaching history, for those who don't know a lot about you, you've obviously spent a lot of time in the TAC Cup as well as the VAFA. Can you just take us through your background a little bit?
Yeah, did 5 years TAC Cup, 3 years at Sandy Dragons, so with Dale Tapping there, we won the premiership in the second year there. Then he went to Collingwood. And Justin Platt was the coach after that, and then went to Calder for a couple of years there, and then decided I needed to coach my own team,
yep.
and basically learn the intricacies of coaching a whole club as well. And took it to Monash Blues in the amateur competition. We lost the grand final last year, unfortunately, and then on Saturday we actually had to win against the top team to make finals, which we did. By
well
4 points, which was actually St Bees, which is my old club.
Oh,
so it was a pretty, it was just the whole scenario was a bit bizarre. And then the next scenario was that we thought we might have been playing on Saturday afternoon,
oh.
which would have been a mad race back
yep.
to Witten Oval after that. But the league I made a few phone calls. The league have put it on Sunday, which is a really nice of them. So it's a pretty hectic weekend this weekend, or pretty hectic 4 days from Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So, but it's all footy, and that's great.
How did you get involved in girls and women's footy?
Yeah, in 2011, I was the coach of the AFL Vic Development Under 18 team. So they was basically the next 24 girls that didn't get picked in the Victorian team. So I coached that for 2 years, Gold Coast and South Australia, and there that's where they were. And then AFL Victoria split Victorian team and into Victoria to Metro Country, like what they do with the boys. And I took over the Vic Metro team and had Ali as my captain in that team. So we ended up winning. We actually beat Michelle's WA team in the grand final. So I've got one over her. No doubt she's really keen to get another one back. But then actually that year I was the assistant for Melbourne in that first exhibition game that they had there as well, where Michelle coached.
So all the crossover, isn't it?
There is a fair bit, and there's quite a few names still on that list that played in that game. So I'm hoping that I've got the knowledge to be able to cater them on Saturday night.
Since you've been involved, do you feel like the perception, I guess, towards women's football and girls' football in general has changed?
Oh, no doubt. I was involved at Morty Bray Junior Footy Club as well as a director of development there, and probably 4 years ago we started with a team, had 13 girls, they scraped through for a season. They've now got six teams and probably looking to go to eight teams next year. So for girls that are 8 to 12, it's now just normal that they go to a junior footy club and they run around. I remember my dad saying, I go there and there's all these girls running around with just Morty Bro jumpers and full kit on a Sunday, and it's now normal. For the girls just to be fully included in junior footy clubs, which is really, really exciting for the pathway that's going to happen now, is that a lot of these girls playing senior girls footy, there hasn't been that many. So now we're going to have huge numbers coming through and the skill level is going to go through the roof. And so then this is just the start of it, a comp pre-season base comp next year for the AFL women's, and then that'll lead into, no doubt, and I was speaking to people about 3 or 4 years' time, we're going to see a full season during winter that matches up with the AFL, no doubt.
It really is fantastic, isn't it, to see all the girls included at junior level. I mean, I remember when I was young and I, you know, did Oz Kick, I was at the Ashy Redbacks and, you know, just got to a certain age and they were like, sorry, you can't play anymore, and I was devastated. So it's so great to have that now for the girls that are coming through. Mel, do you feel like you've got this responsibility now as well to sort of be a role model and encourage the girls?
Yeah, I guess that the more and more opportunities I'm getting out to go out and speak to girls at schools and even just going for a kick on a weekend, and you see young girls out there with their dads having a kick at the park, and we normally go over and have a chat to them. And yeah, it really is a revolution at the moment, and obviously I grew up in Mildura, and when I was young there wasn't a league, and this year they've had their first ever league and they got four sides in a start-up comp. So it's just, yeah, it's absolutely phenomenal, the amount of growth. And I think, as Paul said, there's going to be girls in a few years' time that have played since they were sort of a junior and can kick left and right, and the amount of skill and athleticism and, yeah, the spectacle that we're going to be able to put on is going to be pretty amazing.
How are you going with being a Melbourne marquee player? It's obviously a very exciting time. Are you getting noticed on the streets and people, like little girls coming up to you and, you know, just talking to you about footy and all the rest?
Yeah, a little bit. So I think it is a dream come true, and it's still a bit surreal, really, to be kind of, I guess, a semi-professional athlete. And, yeah, as I said, going to schools and talking to young girls and telling them to follow their dreams and to aspire big. And I think it's pretty powerful, and, yeah, it is a big responsibility, but it's something that I've enjoyed, definitely.
Because you started footy a little bit later, didn't you?
Yeah, I was 24, so I'd always played a lot of netball. And
so it's never too late, people.
It's not.
Maybe I could still pull on a jumper. I turned 33 weeks ago, so maybe not.
Yeah, you definitely can. But I think I speak to a lot of women, they say, oh, I just wish we could have played when I was younger. And, I guess that was probably me when I was a young girl. I played in grade 5 and grade 6, was the only girl in my primary school team, and I probably thought that my dream was never going to happen, and I guess, I'm living it now.
And the D's had a talent ID training session a couple of weekends ago. How did that go? Did you have a good turnout?
Yeah, we did. It was more of an invitational, so I think it was a few girls that, yeah, we obviously specifically wanted to see. And, yeah, a couple of – we've got the rookie allocation that is sort of – I think we can pick two girls. Is that right, Paul?
Yeah, two girls that haven't played footy before June 15th when they announced the competition and the teams that got licences. So, yeah, at the moment it's pretty much just trying to see those talented girls that have played potentially other sports that could adapt to the game. And, yeah, we've got a couple of weeks to sign two of those.
Mm. Really? So have you got a couple on your radar?
We're very much down the track with one.
Yep.
And the other one, we've got a couple of targets in that sort of thing. And as opposed to Melbourne, who did a very public one, we've hit up a few private sporting institute type places recently, and just brought in a few girls there that we know of. So we've managed to tap into a little bit of it, but there's opportunities for girls from other sports. Basketball, netball, any of those sort of ball handling sports can really adapt to AFL. The kicking skill, we're not actually focusing too much on that. If you can run, you can jump. And you're prepared to be fairly fairly robust, I reckon, in your body contact, then it's certainly applicable to what we're looking for.
Cool. So does every club – obviously we have the two marquee players announced for all of the clubs so far, and then there's the priority selection. Have both of your clubs selected priorities? Haven't you?
Yeah, we have. Emma Carney was signed last week.
Yep. Brilliant.
So we've got we were keen to get that one early because she's a Melbourne Stars player as well in the Big Bash.
Yeah,
so,
she plays cricket, doesn't she?
Yeah, so she's going to basically finish cricket a week before the season starts for footy. So, the opportunity to do that is huge. So we're definitely for it, and she's a star footballer. So we're going to work closely with their coaches in terms of load management and how much work she's actually doing when she can get to footy training during those little parts. But just the structure for her to be elite in two fields at the same time, we're certainly not asking her to choose one or the other.
Yeah.
But I don't think Melbourne have announced theirs yet. They've got something up your sleeve.
I think
they've got to the end of this week to do it from memory. Yeah, so we're hearing rumblings.
Yeah, there's a couple of girls on our radar, but we'll keep that.
She's keeping it under a lid at the moment. It must be weird too because Michelle Cowan obviously comes back to coach you guys on Saturday night, but she is Fremantle's coach for next year.
Yeah, it'll be nice to, I guess, finish off that journey that we all started together, but it is a bit bizarre. But any opportunity to be coached by her is something that I'll be taking with both hands. She's a fantastic coach.
No doubt at all. So obviously the women's draft, October 12, but when does pre-season training start, guys?
22nd of November is when we're allowed to kick off that.
Beautiful.
And then the girls will go to Christmas break. Obviously, I think it's 19th of December through to the 1st of Jan or 2nd of Jan. So it'll be a bit of a shock for a lot of the girls this Christmas break. It's because it's going to be they're going to be an elite program, and Christmas is probably not as what they've seen Christmas before in terms of food and that sort of stuff.
Yes, not too many wines.
So it's going to be. Oh, it's a part of the education process for the girls as well that this is now really, really serious.
How's it going to be for you, Mel?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not a lot of time together before the first game starts. Yeah. So, obviously, even if we're on a break, we need to be optimising that time for training. And, yeah, you don't want to kind of lose that month or so of training that we've had together in your fitness with a couple of week break. So, I think it'll be probably training nearly every day in that off time. But it's something that, I guess, over the last 8 months, I know that myself and a few other teammates have really kind of stepped up our training, and I went for a running session on Christmas Day last year, so it's not really anything different for us.
You will take a little bit of a break, of course, after the grand final, though.
Yes, I'm actually hopefully heading over to Tanzania for a hike, so in October. That's
fantastic. How long for?
I think the hike goes for 6 days, so it's up Mount Kilimanjaro.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, which will be really cool.
Have you had to do any extra training for that, or probably footy?
I'm hoping it'll just carry me through. I might go for a couple of hikes leading into it, but it'll be the altitude that I think, I guess you don't really know what to expect and how your body will react to that, but yeah, hopefully it'll be all good.
Oh, enjoy that. That sounds amazing. And Paul, for you, you're obviously the director of sport at Salesian College. Is that correct?
I was.
So
I've finished up teaching. I was telling Mel before that it's good to have a break and get out of the classroom after sort of 12 years of that. So I'm full-time at the Bulldogs. It's a joint role. It's head coach and football manager. So
fantastic.
All the budgets and
all the fun stuff.
Hiring and firing and all the staff and all that sort of stuff is under my hat at the moment. So just getting my head around all of that at the present and really just working towards this Saturday night's game, and then we can really start focusing on the draft lottery and then the draft itself.
You've got a lot of work ahead of you. Have you appointed any assistants or anything at this stage?
Yeah, Glenn Barmforth is our operations for the women's comp. So he's been pretty much managing that in a little way for the last couple of years anyway. So he's got a lot of knowledge in that space. And yeah, so we've put a list manager on board as well. So Mick Sandu, who coached Melbourne Uni the other year, will come on board as senior assistant and list manager. So we think we've got all the knowledge there, and then we'll look to appoint assistants. Might even be after the draft. We're looking for the best coaches there, so we're happy to sit and wait until the season finishes.
Well, best of luck for Saturday night to both of you, and obviously for those of you who can get down to the Witten Oval, the game starts at 7:10. Of course, entry is free. If you can't catch it, Channel 7 or afl.com.au is the place to go. We'll also have match highlights and a match report on afl.com.au after the game. So if you miss it and you're out, you can catch up on afl.com.au. We are so excited about the National Women's Comp as well that's coming up next year. We'll be following all of the girls through pre-season, so we're really stoked for that. So best of luck with your preparations as well, guys. Really appreciate you both coming in and joining us on the podcast today.
Thanks for that.
No worries, thank you.
All right, to all of our listeners, stay tuned for more Trailblazers. Of course, afl.com.au/women's is the place for all of your women's footy news. Thanks for joining us.